Welcome to another edition of the Superflight Podcast, your electroharmonics NBA podcast. It is Thursday, December 1st, 2016, and I'm your host as always, Jabarelli, coming at you. What's up, peeps? How's it going? Good? Good. I'm glad to hear you're fine. Good. I'm good, too. All right, good. Now that we got that out of the way, you know, I usually open up the show with doing a little bit of a rant, or I talk a little bit before we get going with the podcast. So this week, I just thought that I would open up with talking about a new album that came out that I am really happy to report that I love. So growing up, like, this band was one of my all-time greatest influences. They inspired me to learn how to play the guitar and shred. You know, because I loved metal when I was a kid. and Metallica put out a new album. Here's the thing. Their new album, it's fucking awesome. I love it. I don't even know if I should be talking about this. Let me give you a quick album review. I know this is why you tune into the podcast, because you want to hear about music that I like, not about the NBA. I don't know. So Metallica put out a new album, and I feel like an old head for talking about this album, because, like, you know, here's the thing. Metallica, they lost me for a number of years. Like, Saint Anger, I don't know if anybody that's listening to this album, this podcast, you know, has heard that album or listens to Metallica at all. Saint Anger was a dog shit album. It was like one of the worst freaking albums I've ever heard in my life. I tried to listen to it. I really wanted to like it. God, it sucked. It was awful. And then their last album, which was a lot better, but still not great. It just felt to me like they had put together a bunch of clips from other songs. Like, it, sorry, I'm just trying to mess with things here. Their last album, it just felt like a bunch of mismatched, like, pieces of songs that they were thinking about putting in other songs, but they just, like, never really made it. So they took all these bits of songs and placed them together and made some lyrics and slapped some songs together. I wanted to like that album, too, and while it was better than Set Anger, it was not very good. I got through it, like, maybe twice. So, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm like, I really want to like Metallica, but maybe they're just one of those bands that, like, they're old now. They're not going to make any good music anymore. You know, it's just a thing I enjoy from my childhood. And I didn't know anything about this album coming out. I didn't know anything about, like, they were still making music. I thought they would just go on tour on occasion and, you know, just do the Metallica thing, make some money when they can. So then the other day, a friend of mine posted one of their videos on Facebook, and I gave it a listen. I'm like, against my better judgment, I'm like, you know what, this is gonna suck, but I'll give it a chance because I grew up loving these guys, and I emulated Kirk Hammett when I was growing up, like, every day every Sunday, the guys, when I was like a young teen, like I was a tween, we would get together and I played guitar and I just wanted to be like Kirk Hammett. We would go down to my now brother-in-law's house, and he played the drums, and he wanted to be Lars. And, you know, my best friend Steve wanted to be James. And he even had the what guitar was that? The big white thing. I can't even remember the name of it. It was horrible. I've always hated that guitar. It was like an awful-looking, just giant boat of a guitar. Anyway, Steve had one of those. Hi, Steve. And it was, you know, it was fun. We wanted to be these guys so bad. We would go every Sunday and practice, like, I was raised in a very religious house, as most of us were, around my old hood. And every day after church, we would get together and I would go over to my friend's house and we would play and we would jam out. We would try and, like, write our own music and, like, play little bits and pieces of Metallica songs, because that's all we could do. We could play a little bit of, like, one or two riffs from, like, something from Ride the Lightning or Master of Puppets. And we would go down, we would play for, like, an hour, and then we would turn on Cliff Amal, which is this video. It was a tribute to Cliff Burton. All right, so I'm getting really old on you guys. I'm sorry. But hang with me here. It's fun. It's good stuff. And we would, every Sunday, we'd, like, order pizza, and we'd sit there, and we'd play for an hour, and then we'd go watch Cliff Amal and just be like, oh my God, we want to be these guys one day. It's going to be awesome when we grow up. We're going to be rock stars. And I wasted a lot of my life thinking I was going to be a rock star. So moral of the story is here, you're not going to be a rock star. Try and do something productive. Anyway, so then Metallica comes out with this album, okay? I'm like, It's not going to be very good. It's going to be a piece of dog shit. Like, you know, whatever. Like, the last two were. And, you know, even before that, like, Load and Reload. Like, Load I liked, okay. I applauded that they were doing something new. And at that time, like, in the early 2000s, they were trying to go a different way to stay relevant. And I, you know, I was like, well, that's cool. They're doing their own thing now. They're getting a little bit more melodic and they're toning it down a little bit. And you can't keep making the Black album over and over again, which, by the way, I don't think is their greatest album. It's easily Master of Puppets. And if anybody who disagrees with me, you know, it, suck it. you can tweet me. Feel free to tweet me at me and disagree. But I think Master of Puppets is probably not only their best album, but maybe one of the best metal albums of all time. Maybe the best metal album of all time. Anyway, I'm listening to this album and I'm thinking, like, this is going to suck. James has lost his voice. It's not going to be good. Like, but I'll give it a try. So I heard that one song and I was like, oh, that's pretty good. That was like the best song I've heard from them in a while. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll buy the album. So I bought the album and then I went and I did my, you know, my Monday afternoon run. I usually do like a 7 mile run on Mondays. And because I don't work Mondays, I work Saturdays. So that's just so you guys know, I'm rambling here a bit, but put on the CD and I'm running and I'm listening to it. And man, I got to tell you, this is not just nostalgia hitting me, but like James Hetfield has discovered his voice again. I don't know if he's cleaned up. I don't know if he was like, you know, a druggie or a drunk or whatever. I know he, like, I think this guy's had a lot of issues with drinking and stuff, but what the fuck? I don't know him. I don't, you know, I don't know anything about his personal life. Although I did watch that ridiculous movie they put out, which, watch it, it's hilarious and also sad. Anyway, but it seems to me that James Hetfield has discovered his voice again. And I was having a discussion via email with someone that I've spoken to before. And, you know, we talked about it. He's also apparently a fan of Metallica, but he couldn't get over the fact that, like, James's voice is just too much at this point, like the growly nature of it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And when I first started listening to the CDs, I had a little bit of a problem with that too. It was like, his voice just seems so prominent and so upfront and loud and growly. But the more I listen to him, man, it's like he's gone back into, I think maybe he's like taken some voice lessons or something, but he's kind of turned around and like the things that he did on the early Metallica albums in Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets, where he had this inflection in his singing voice that he did, like the, you know, stuff like that, that nobody else was doing. And it's what made his voice truly unique. And then there's a few songs in this new CD that he's doing that again. He's discovered some range. He's using his voice more as an instrument and less of a growl. It took me a second to get into it, but man, it's good. And then here's the real important thing. And this is where I'm like, you know, this isn't just nostalgia. The thing that I loved about Metallica, the thing that I always, that drew me to them, that made them my favorite band, is they have these really complex timing signatures in their songs. Like, I would liken it to, so they'll do a breakdown right before a solo. And that for me is like an NBA. It's like the kind of like, it's like a jump stop right before you do a layup. Like you bait the guy and then you jump stop and you just lay it up. And it's kind of, it's done in a way that only Metallica can do. They throw in these little extra bits of rhythms that wouldn't make sense in any other song. And they can kind of weave them into these really nice, you know, rhythms. And man, I'm like, that's the kind of thing that they've been missing for so long. That's the kind of thing that drew me to that band to begin with. Their layering of the guitars and their intricate timing signatures. And their, so they've been, you know, they're somewhat melodic in this album too. It's a little bit reminiscent of the Black Album. It's a lot reminiscent of Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets. And man, I just like, you know, the solos are still fun, but it's just so good. I'm just really enjoying the shit out of this CD. And so now you've heard me talk about Metallica for no good freaking reason. This probably tells you way more about me than you would otherwise ever know, and probably more than I should let you know. But it's fine, whatever. I'm a guitar player. I like to shred sometimes. It's good stuff. But yeah, man, like, I highly recommend it. I know they got kind of douchey there with the whole Napster thing, and, you know, some kind of monster movie was just, it was a train wreck. You couldn't look away. And I felt kind of sad at that point for those guys. Whatever. It's fine. When they did the Big Four tour, and they got together with Slayer and Anthrax and Megadeth. Like, that was awesome. I really wanted to go see that. Couldn't afford it, obviously. That shit sold out in like 2 seconds. But even then, they were still like riding on recent history, and they were still riding on like Master of Puppets stuff, which, again, best album. But they weren't really doing anything that was like, you know, notable, that was new, that was fresh, like a fresh Metallica sort of thing. And so this new CD is just, for me, it's obviously a revisitation of their old stuff, but it feels fresh and new too. And like, if you, anybody who's listening, that I'm sorry if I'm alienating anybody who's listening that doesn't give two shits about metal or doesn't give two shits about Metallica. I have a lot of other musical interests as well. I'm just telling you that like this one, it does speak to my childhood. So there's that, but it's also, it's not just a revisitation, but it's something new that is something that I've been wanting to hear from them for a while. So yeah, I don't know how else to explain it. Maybe it's a lot of nostalgia, but I think it's really good. I think it's definitely worth a listen if you guys are into that sort of thing. If not, you know, whatever. There's other good albums out there right now. I hear that the new, my wife was telling me that the new Tribe Called Quest, which I haven't gotten to listen to yet, is also freaking amazing. Maybe I'll do a review of that next week when I listen to it. But anyways, I just wanted to give you that quick tidbit, and I recommend, the guys don't need the money, so you get it, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying do it to support them, but if you like their music, and you should support them if you like their music. But if you want to hear a new Metallica album, it's the best one in 20 years, easily. I'm just super jazzed, man. I've been listening to it on the way into work on the subway every morning, and I'm just like, I can't stop tapping my feet, and like, I'm probably annoying the shit out of everyone around me. And I listened to it away on the way home again, and I'm like, I'm really amped up right now. So with that, I'm going to tell you that my next guest tonight on the podcast to talk about the Bulls is Tyler Place. He writes for SB Nation Bloggable. And he is going to come on and talk some Bulls and about their hot start and what's happening with Bulls Nation. Bulls Nation, can we call it that? Anyway, so Tyler's going to come on. We're going to talk some Bulls and about their hot start and what's going on with the Bulls. And in the meantime, also, I want to let you guys know that I'm friends with the Fuzz NBA podcast from Australia. If you guys don't know them, definitely check them out. They're fun guys, and they do some really good stuff with the NBA. Michael Keith and Byron James. Michael Keith is actually going to be in New York, so he's going to swing by the studio on Monday, and we are going to get together and talk some NBA, and we're going to talk about some Australian players, and we're going to talk about what it's like to actually see a game live, because I don't believe he's ever seen a live NBA game, so that should be fun for everyone. Dan, it's going to be the first time I've had a guest in the studio in some time, so I'm really looking forward to it. And I think Michael might be a little bit nervous about coming to Brooklyn. So Brooklyn represent, we're going to show this man a good time. Anyway, hang tight. Tyler's coming right up, and I'll talk to you guys in a sec. Cool. Well, welcome aboard, Tyler.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Sure. So do me a favor and tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitter and how they can read your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So my Twitter handle is Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, _ Pleiss, P-L-E-I-S-S. And you guys can find my writings at SB Nation's Bulls website called bloggable.com. And that's where you'll find my stuff.
Awesome. And it's good stuff. I read your piece about the Blob, the baseline out of bounds plays.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's very informative. I like the play you picked. I had no idea. I'm like, man, you're really good at breaking these things down. I wouldn't have noticed like half of that stuff. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it's just a little niche I have for just watching, you know, the game going on, especially Hoiberg, because I noticed that over the, you know, during his first year was. He has a knack for designing some very effective baseline out of bounds sets. Not so much the after timeout ones, but definitely the Blob sets. He comes up with some creative ones.
Nice. Did you play basketball?
I did, actually. Yeah.
In college or?
Yeah, I played in high school, and then I played in college for 4 years. So.
Oh wow! So you can actually play. So you know what you're talking about. No wonder.
Yeah, a little bit.
What position did you play?
I was shooting guard and small forward. I played a very small school in Storm Lake, Iowa.
Nice. So should I know you? Should I like know that, you know, you're a college player? Should I be embarrassed for not knowing where you played?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You never made it to March Madness or anything?
No. We were a small Division III school, so no one would know that.
All right. Well, now everyone's going to know. Anyway, so this is a question I ask of everyone that comes on the show. Tell me about how you became a Bulls fan. Tell me about your team that you love and that you write about.
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up in the 90s, and of course, being a 90s baby, the Chicago Bulls are the team during that time. And, you know, I just remember my first pair of shoes that my dad ever purchased me were, you know, Air Jordans. And so he kind of got me into it, the Chicago Bulls, you know, from a very young age. And it just kind of expanded from there. I followed him all through the 90s. And then once Jordan retired into the early 2000s in the Baby Bulls, I stuck with the team. And through that period, that was pretty tough. And then, you know, I'm still with them today. So it's just been kind of like a lifelong fandom. I've just been following them ever since.
Nice. Yeah, there was some dark years there, huh? Kind of like what I'm going through with the Sixers right now.
Yeah, there's some hope, though. There's some hope, though, with you guys.
Yeah, Embiid. Yep. Oh, my God. Anyway, there are some dark times, you know? I mean, you can't really enjoy a good team unless you watch them get bad first, you know, and then like you watch them grow. That's kind of awesome, which is why, you know, this team is a little bit interesting. Like they kind of got good. And when Derrick Rose, you know, became MVP and right before he, sorry, I have to apologize for the, on behalf of the Sixers for ruining his knees. but it looked like they were going to be a relevant team again. And they were, I mean, for sure, for a lot of years to come, but that just kind of fell off a cliff really quickly. I'll edit that out. But yeah, man, like since you grew up being a Bulls fan, that's cool. So you just, did you always think that you would like to write about them, or did you want to be like around the team or get involved with the team in any way?
No, actually. So kind of how it worked is I've always wanted to be working in sports per se, and kind of as I got into college and I knew it probably be difficult to get into, and then once I stopped playing basketball, I wanted to find a way to kind of stay with the game in some sort of fashion. And I figured writing was probably the best way for me to do that. I'd always been a strong writer in school. And so I figured if I can keep basketball as a part of my everyday life and talk about it in a certain way, which is writing, you know, might as well give it a shot. And been doing it for about coming up on 4 years now. And it's been going strong, you know, ever since.
Nice. You're lucky that you can write. I'm a dog shit writer, so I have to rely on my stupid voice. So people listen to me.
I'm lucky enough to have a good editor to make it sound good. So
there you go. Anyway, let's talk about the Bulls. Let's talk about this season of the Bulls. So I think, I'll tell you, you probably haven't heard it, but I did this preseason predictions. It was like the day of. So I was, again, late to everything. I'm going to be late to my own funeral. but I did this the day of, like just as the season had started. I'm like, okay, I got to get this out now. So I rushed and I'm like, here's 12 things that I think are going to happen this season. And one of the things was, I predicted that because I didn't see a way of this team working with Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo and Jimmy Butler being on the same team together. I thought like there's going to be absolutely no spacing and no shooting. And I thought, you know, Rondo likes to get under people's skin a little bit, and I could just see him and Butler going at, like Butler would just get the shits of it and be like, and they'd have a fight on the court, which I still think could happen at some point. but yeah, I did not see them becoming an actually good team. I didn't think their record was going to be, what are they, 10-7 now? 10-7.
Yep, 10-7.
10-7, okay. Boy, I pulled that one out of my ass. yay me. But yeah, so let's talk about like, what did you expect for them this season? Did you have kind of the same idea coming in?
Yeah, I think the general theme around anybody who was following the Bulls was that it was just going to be a catastrophe. We thought that the management was on the right track when they made the move of not signing Joakim Noah, trading Derrick Rose. It looked like they were going to form a younger team around Jimmy Butler and kind of grow that way. And then they signed Dwayne Wade and then they sign Rajon Rondo, and it's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Because none of those signings made any sense from...
Especially when they drafted Denzel Valentine, which I love that. I love that pick for
them.
I thought he was going to be huge coming out of college. I thought he was ready to play right away. And then they got Rondo, and I'm like, what are you doing? But go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you
no,
off.
No, it's fine. No, yeah. And so it just kind of put everybody in a... just kind of a holding position, because it was like, what is, like, what direction are they going into? Everyone's going to the space and pace 3-point, you know, style offense today, and we're reverting back to mid-90s mid-range, and so it left a lot of question marks as far as what was going to happen. And so I think everybody was pretty pessimistic coming into the season that at best they might be fighting for one of those seventh or eighth seeds, and to see them come out the way they have, to finish 4-2 on a 6-game road trip with the chance to go 6-0 on it, was, I mean, it's surprising everybody right now. And you know, they've found their niche and how they're succeeding right now, and it's working. So I mean, all credit to them for proving everybody wrong.
Yeah, for sure. I guess it speaks to like Hoiberg actually being a really good coach, right? Do you disagree?
I think the jury's still out on him a little bit. There's some times where he's, even right now, it's kind of questionable with his rotations. Right now he's playing as a bench unit that's just getting trampled on every time they're in the game. You can look back at the Los Angeles Clippers game, the Denver Nuggets game, and then last night versus the Lakers. He's rolled out this bench unit with Dwayne Wade, Isaiah Cannon.
It's Cannon, man. It's Cannon. Get it Sorry. Right.
Sorry.
Former Sixer, Isaiah Cannon, with the cannonball. All right, go ahead.
So, he's rolled out that with Cannon, Nikola Mirotic, and then Bobby Portis. And we're calling it the deadline because it's preventing no sort of resistance on the defensive end. And it's given up, in each one of those three games, they've given up substantial leads that the starters have gained. And, you know, and it's still waiting to see if Fred's going to change rotations up, and he hasn't yet, which has been kind of frustrating. And so, you know, there's still some areas where he's got to improve on. He's gotten better this year, but I think the jury's still out for right now in terms of, is he a good coach, or is he, where are we at with this whole thing? So it's still a process with him, I think, is the general opinion.
Hey, man, I'm all about trusting processes. I'm going to keep doing this all night. But, I mean, like, you got to kind of feel bad for him in a way, right? Like, he came in expecting a totally different team, and in year two, he's gotten this team. Like, it's not even close to what he got hired to coach. But anyways, there are some things that are working with this team, right? So, like, they've had some three-point shooting, unbelievably. Like, Dwayne Wade has hit more threes, I think, this year in, what, the first 2 weeks than he did all of last year combined?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. He came out in the preseason and was gunning threes, and we're like, okay, it might regress back a little bit. There's no way this is going to sustain. And sure enough, he's come out in the regular season and he's hitting threes at a league average rate of, you know, he's shooting 37.7% from three on 3.5 attempts per game. And, you know, it's kind of incredible to see if he can sustain that throughout the season. And same with Jimmy Butler, he's shooting 40% from three on over 3.5 attempts per game. And so if those guys can continue to hit threes at the very least, a league average rate, I go, it's going to continue to space things out on offense. You know, the biggest thing, though, that's kind of helping them right now is their rebounding from Taj Gibson and Robin Lopez. They're just crushing the boards on offense right now, bringing up some stats. You know, they're leading the league in offensive rebounding percentage at 29.7. And because of that, they're getting a bunch of second chance opportunities. And they're third, or let me see here,
second overall in rebounds in general, or like total rebounds in the league or something. I know they're rebounding really well.
Yeah, their rebounding rate is ridiculous. And I know that, I think they're like third in the league in second chance points. So, you know, they're missing shots, but the good thing is their big guys are getting those second chance opportunities, which is really helping them.
Right. And so that's another reason like they're doing so well, I think. The addition of Robin Lopez has been huge for them. I mean, it's a huge upgrade over Joakim Noah, which the New York Knicks are finding out the hard way. he's a huge, like, I've always liked his game. He's just a workman kind of, you know, really defense first center who he'll put up a few numbers for you, like offensively, but he's not going to get you like massive, you know, offensive points. What am I saying here? He's not going to give you a lot of offense, but he's really good on the defensive end and rebounding. So I think that was a huge upgrade for them. He's been really good for them in the middle so far this season, which, you know, what do you think about his addition?
Yeah, it's been a clear upgrade. I think, and I'll be honest, I think the trade for Robin Lopez and even Jerian Grant was a clear advantage for the Bulls. Just seeing where Rose is at in his career now, and same with Joakim Noah, how injuries have just totally zapped their primes away. And so Robin's been great. He doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, as much as he should.
Really, he really doesn't. I think it's his hair. I think people just hate on the hair.
It might be. It might be a sideshow Bob thing.
Nobody can take him seriously, man.
I know. But no, he's been one of the Bulls that I've been absolutely just pleased with. He's been grabbing so many offensive rebounds. I think he's third in the league in offensive rebounds per game at, let me see here. I just had it up 1 second.
Which is huge. It's okay. I'll talk. Yeah. I'll talk while you're looking it up. It's huge. I didn't realize he was that big on offensive rebounds. I just knew him for his defense mostly. Like, he's always in the right position. And I guess he's averaging like 2 blocks a game right now, which is insane. I didn't think he was a shot blocker either, but he's really stepped up his game, man. And it seems to me like he's one of those guys that gets better over time. Like, he's always been solid, but mm-hmm. now we're really starting to notice what he can do on a good team or on a decent team.
Yeah. He came into his own. So he started off with, I think it was the New Orleans Hornets still. And then he's with the Suns, and he's still kind of trying to find his role in the league. And then he got with Portland 2 years ago, and that's when he really started to come into his own. And then we saw it last year with the Knicks, even though they were terrible, but right. he was still having a really good year. And this year he's just been stellar. He's got he's averaging the third most offensive rebounds in the league at 3.8. And
who's he behind? Does it show you?
Yeah, he's behind Hassan Whiteside and Dwight Howard. So that's
pretty good company.
That's pretty good company to be behind. And so that's been huge as far as getting the Bulls second chance opportunities on offense. Defensively, he's been, he struggles a little bit in guarding the pick and pop just because he's a little slow.
Right, he's a little bit flat-footed, right? So getting out to the perimeter is a little bit tough for him. But he can cover, right? Like, he can get back to the rim.
Yeah, so they have him, when they cover the pick and roll, he drops back on every occasion. But his rim protection has been great. He goes straight up. He's not coming down and fouling, and he's cleaning up the defensive boards. And, I mean, I can't think of anything to really complain about. You know, right now he's been awesome on both ends of the floor.
Oh, maybe he'll cut his hair. That'll really piss everyone off. You know, another thing, like, I remember last year in the playoffs, Dwayne Wade was having like this incredible resurgence of a season. He looked so good last year in the playoffs. And I thought, well, that's just an anomaly. He's getting old. He's not going to be as good anymore. And I love Dwayne Wade. He's been one of my favorite players for a long time. And I thought, well, if they get that Dwayne Wade or even some of that Dwayne Wade, that'll be good. I mean, it'll be an upgrade. I think it would definitely be an upgrade over Derrick Rose, I thought, which seems to be true. But he's been really good, right? He's still like Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, it's the one thing that's been nice is that it gives the Bulls another shot creator. Whereas before, you were maybe relying on Derrick Rose to pull something out when they needed a shot, or Jimmy Butler, who maybe quite wasn't as good as he is this year. And so to have that luxury of having both of those guys to come in and just create shots on their own that they haven't had that element before has been huge. And the fact that he's hitting threes too. Defensively, he's still kind of lackadaisical every now and then, but that's just because he's 34.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest area that he's had an impact on, and I think a lot of people can attest to this, has been his leadership coming in and having an impact on Jimmy Butler and just kind of showing him the way and how to be a leader and how to carry himself. And his impact on the team in general has just been phenomenal. And that's the biggest thing I think so far that he's done for this team this year.
For sure. I mean, like, I'm one of those people that, like, because when Sam Hinkie started the rebuild, all right, let me go on a Sixers rant real quick. people were saying, oh, they don't have any professionals on this team. They don't have any older guys to lead the young guys through what they're supposed to do. And they just suck. And, everybody's ragging on them for that. And which I was like, okay, I don't really think you need old guys, but I'm sort of split now. Cause it does seem to me that like those guys are kind of important. And Dwayne Wade definitely seems like the older statesman. And if you got somebody with Jimmy Butler's talent who's still coming up, and you can put Dwayne Wade, who's still good, around him and show him how to, like, because he's been in the league for what, 12, 13 years. He knows what he's doing. He can teach him all those tricks that an old vet knows. I'm kind of there now. I'm like, okay, maybe veterans are sort of important. So yeah, I agree. I think it's very important. I think he probably is helping a lot in that respect. Also, like you mentioned, his playmaking in general, like we know that he's a really crafty guy around the rim. He has this like sort of stop, start, go to the rim. And man, he dunked it the other night, which surprised me. I forgot he could still do that. So it's really fun to see. And I agree with the defense. Like he's a little bit lackadaisical, but as you mentioned, when you're 34, you got to save some energy, you know?
Right. Yeah. You can't do it all on both ends like Jimmy Butler can right now, but the thing is he's got a knack for when he gambles, he's pretty smart about it. And he's very good at knowing when to gamble and to get steals. So when he's locked in, he's still a pretty good defender, but there's still times where he just kind of takes a couple plays off and you can kind of tell. But I mean, you can only ask for so much for him at this stage in his career.
Oh, for sure. And I think if they get like a decent seed in the playoffs, which it looks like they're headed towards, I think you'll definitely see his defensive intensity ramp up. I mean, then you actually have to give it all and put it all on. Yeah. And that's the thing that everybody always talks about. Like the regular season is so much different than the playoffs because it ramps up. Everybody is giving their entire body's worth of effort, you know? So I think I wouldn't worry about that too much at this point. And I think he'll be fine. We saw him do it forever in Miami. He would just take some plays off and then the playoffs would roll around and it's like a whole new guy.
So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So I think he's been huge for them. The other thing is like Jimmy Butler is having a huge year so far. He's averaging he's averaging almost 26 points a game, like 6.5 rebounds and like 4 assists, something along that line, right?
Yeah. 25. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. 25.6 points, 6.5 rebounds and just under 4 assists per game with 1.6 steals. So yeah, he's been all over the place. We didn't think he could get to another level that he had reached last year, and he's came out and surprised everybody. He's reached yet another level, and it's just been kind of truly amazing just to watch him get better every year.
Yeah, it's so great to watch like young guys come up and just like when they hit that level, they get really good, and you're like, wow, this guy couldn't possibly get better. This is probably his peak, and then he keeps going. And if it's on your team, you're just like, oh my God, this is amazing. I never wanted to stop.
Right.
So he's there now. And if he can keep going, I mean, if he can like still improve his game further, you've got like a legit superstar in your hands. Which brings me to a question. Do you think Jimmy Butler right now has a legitimate shot at MVP?
I think he has an outside shot. I truly do. I think, obviously, you have Kevin Durant, LeBron, Russ, James, and then Kawhi. Those are probably your top five right now.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think if he
don't forget Anthony Davis.
Oh, Anthony Davis. Yep.
Because if they keep winning, he might have a shot. But go on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off again.
No, it's fine. But no, I think if he continues on the same level throughout the year and the Bulls can get up there in the Eastern Conference and, you know, top 3 seed in the East, a top 10 record in the league, I mean, it'd be tough. To be honest, it'd be tough considering where those other five are at. But I think you'd have to at least put him in the conversation a little bit, especially with the way he's playing and what he's doing on both ends of the floor.
For sure. And I think, you know, honestly, winning is really the thing that gets you that award. Like, we don't ever see a guy who's just putting up ridiculous stats and not on a bad team, right? And not getting, you know, those guys never get the MVP. I can't even think of one off the top of my head, to be honest with you. But they would have to be absolutely playoff bound and probably like in the top, at least top two in the league or in the Eastern Conference, right?
Yeah.
And to do that, I think you'd also have to show that he's really the reason for that team being so much better or being in that position. So I think he's still got another step to take personally, but he's definitely in the conversation as one of the top three players in the East, right?
Yeah, I think it's LeBron, and then you can. There's definitely an argument that you could say Jimmy Butler's been the second best player so far in the East. I'm not sure there's anybody else behind or that'd be close. Maybe Isaiah Thomas for the Celtics and Giannis from Milwaukee, but
Paul George.
Well, he's been hurt too. So
that's true.
It's been
kind
of tough for him. But then there's DeMar DeRozan from Toronto.
DeRozan's been surprisingly good too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But I think he's probably right now this part in the season, I think he's probably the clear second best, in my opinion, behind LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, you're not just saying that as a Bulls fan, right?
There might be a little bias.
But yeah, so like they have a surprisingly good record. I think we're all still shocked. But then again, like there's the whole, is this going to regress to the mean? Are they going to come back down to earth and become the Bulls that we all suspected? Because it's still very early in the season. And one of the things that stands out to you that like doesn't really work on this team is Rondo, which I'm not surprised because Rondo is just a stat compiler. And I'm going to say this, I'm not a big Rondo fan, like not just as a basketball player, but like he seems like a total shit, man. He seems like the biggest dick on any team. I'm just saying.
No, I agree. I think most of us were okay with the Wade signing when that happened, because that was obviously the biggest signing the Bulls have had in what, the last 15 years. But the Rondo thing just made no sense from any standpoint, and it's pretty much proven to be what everybody believed when the signing happened. He's just, you know, the good thing is for now is that him and Hoiberg are working together and that relationship seems to be fine, which if you can look back at him and Rick Carlisle and Sacramento's former coach, George Karl, he had run-ins with both of those guys and that ended his careers there. But the good thing is that he seems to be on the same page with Hoiberg and Wade and Butler. Bad news is though, the on the court feel, it's just, you can just tell from the eye test, you don't even have to look at stats right. If you didn't have to, it's just not working on offense. His lack of shooting is hurting the Bulls spacing. On defense, he's hardly trying, he's gambling and switching when it doesn't look like he should be. And it's just bad right now. But you know, the other guys are making up for his mistakes and they're winning. So I guess you can't really, I'm not sure where you go from there considering that fact.
Yeah, it's weird because like he's put himself in a position where he's doing enough that you can still start him, right? But like, wouldn't he be better, much better on the bench, coming off the bench, like giving your guys, like, that's the thing. I don't even know if they have any shooters that they can put around him off the bench, but because he's good. He is the one thing you can give him is he's a good creator. I mean, he chases assists for sure. But
yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that, like, yeah, he chases assists, but he could definitely, like, sort of create, kind of make something out of nothing for your guys on the bench, the second unit, because they're obviously having a hard time scoring. And, like, last night, I guess that's – I'm old. I couldn't stay up. But that's how they lost the game, right? Their bench just, like, again, has no firepower. And the Lakers just went after him, I guess.
Yeah, and a lot of that goes back to – kind of the defensive issues with that unit, especially with Nico and Portis. Those two are, that's one of the rotation issues that we're all going back and forth on with Hoiberg right now that he hasn't changed yet. But yeah, the bench of scoring issues are really one of the biggest issues with them. And, you know, Rondo could help with them if you surrounded him with Cannon and McDermott a little bit. But probably the biggest disappointment, I think, this season, maybe moving on to maybe another topic with the Bulls has been Mirotić.
What happened? Well, he came out his rookie season. Sorry, not to cut you off again, but he came out his rookie season. He looked phenomenal. I thought, man, this guy is like a steal. He's going to be so good. And last year, he just kind of just faded, I guess. And this year, I guess he's not been doing much of anything.
No, it's been really disappointing. I mean, he had a great rookie year. He ended it well, and then last year he started off up and down, and then he had the appendectomy and he was out for I think like 2 months, came back towards the end of the year and finished strong. And a lot of people with the roster construction were hoping that he would get the stretch four role starting and be able to make that next leap in his career, because this is his contract year. And he's hasn't really done anything to really prove himself. He's still inconsistent. He's up and down. His confidence is shaky, and it's just been kind of frustrating to watch, because you know, there's a lot of promise with him. You could see elements of, you know, what he could do on the offensive end more than shooting. You know, he could create a little bit and pass. And it's just been really frustrating to see him not put it together on a nightly basis. And it's been hurting the Bulls, especially that second unit.
Yeah. And he was a really good 3-point shooter his rookie season, right? And I think that's kind of totally fallen off a cliff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. He's been at least league average in terms of this 3-point shooting, but again, a lot of it goes back to just finding more consistency. There'll be some games where he might shoot, you know, 4-for-6, 4-for-7 from three, and then the next game, you know, he's shooting 0-for-5 and you don't hear from him. So biggest thing with him, like I said, is just finding some sort of consistency and, you know, that confidence on a nightly basis, and that's what he's struggling with right now.
Yeah, you know, not to go back to my Sixers, but I do this, so I'm like Bill Simmons, except for not with the Celtics. But like, speaking of guys with confidence, man, Nick Stauskas is actually, like, the first 2 years he was in the league, just total crap. Like, I thought the guy was going to get cut because he showed absolutely nothing. And I think it's not that he changed as a player from college to the pros, it's that, like, his confidence was shaken. And he was even open about the fact that, like, do I belong in this league? So I guess this year he went out and got a mental coach. And, man, the guy is actually playing. So I don't know, maybe a lot of that has to do with, listen, where's Mirotić from? I know somewhere in Europe, right? I just don't know which country.
Yeah, I think it's from, I want to say Serbia. All right. I should Google that real quick. So, I believe it's over there somewhere. Yeah.
So imagine if you had to go play in Serbia. Like, you have no family, no friends. You know nothing about the culture. You're just, you know, here you go, go. Yeah. I'm sure it rattles you. But it's still kind of a weird thing, though, because, like, his first year here, he was amazing. I don't know what happened between his first year and what's happening now. And it is kind of sad because I was really hoping, well, like, I love to watch good players. And I hope, you know, every guy that comes into the league who's young and just getting started has a great career. It makes the league better. It makes our watching experience better. And it gives you something to root for, which is what we ultimately all want. That's why we love sports. We want to be able to invest in players and invest in the sport, you know? So to have him fall off like this, it saddens me a little bit, but hopefully he can turn it around.
Yeah. You know, basketball and any sport for that matter is such a mental aspect of it. It's just confidence. If you don't have it, then you're going to struggle. And that's been his biggest thing. And hopefully, you know, having Wade around and even Robin Lopez and Taj Gibson, hopefully those guys, I'm sure they are working with him, but hopefully having those guys around and having them in his ear constantly, hopefully that at some point it turns it around. And that's what you can hope. That's all you can hope for right now.
Yeah, for sure. And again, having that influence like Dwayne Wade, who's won championships around him, is going to only help, I think. Hopefully Rondo doesn't like get in his head, you know.
I hope not.
Seriously. That guy, I would never want him on my team. And they signed him after they signed Wade too, right? Which was even more confounding. Like, why would you, what? Like, it didn't make any sense at all. No. So weird. Such a weird thing. sorry, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it months later. You know, and speaking of the bench, too, like, you did mention their defense is really terrible. And I was thinking about this while you were saying it. I think that, you know, having Cannon on your bench, coming off your bench, would be good, right? He is a three-point shooter. He's like a legit three-point shooter when he can get going. He's often, like, hot and cold. But the dude, one thing he cannot do, and I've watched him for 2 years, is play defense. He's awful at defense. So, yeah, they need to sort that bench out. If you put him around other guys that can defend, then he's fine. Like, and you can still get buckets with the guy, but
you know what? I will give him credit though this year. Like, I wrote when they signed him, I'm sure you could probably find it still on our site. I wrote a pretty bad article on Cannon about how bad he was and how bad the signing was and his defense. And he's been a pleasant surprise this year. Defensively, he's not good. I'll flat out say that, but he's putting in a really good effort. I'll say, he's fighting through ball screens. He's, you know, giving a really good effort. And right now, I guess that's all you can ask for from him. And he's actually, I will say this, I think he's been better than Rondo on that end. And
well, no kidding.
But no, I think
so is my carpet.
But no, I think a lot of the bench issues on the defensive end start with having, you know, a trio of Denzel Valentine and Portis and Nico in together at the same time with Wade, who's not very attentive defensively either on a possession by possession basis. And I think Fred has to try and figure out some sort of rotation fixes for that, whether it's putting in Jerian Grant or Cristiano Felicio, the backup center, in terms of trying to figure out how you can get more defense on the floor with that unit.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I don't know anything about the Felicio. Sorry, I forget his name.
he's
I thought it was like Feliciano or something. Maybe I'm thinking of like a Christmas singer or something. Jose Feliciano, is that who it was? Did Feliz Navidad? I don't
know. He's kind of like a little cult hero amongst Bulls fans that everyone's trying to get on the floor instead of Portis right now. So.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. Well, hopefully he gets some playing time. Speaking of, Doug McDermott, is he back yet? I know he was injured. I'm not sure what ailment he had.
Yeah, so I think it was the second week of the season he got a concussion. He sat out one game, and then it was back on November 12th. He was going up for a dunk on Marcus Morris. I think, no, it's Markieff of Washington. And it was a pretty nasty foul by Morris. He kind of grabbed his arm midair and threw him on the ground, and McDermott landed on his head and neck. And he's been out for the last 3 weeks with a concussion, and he's doing non-contact drills right now. But he still hasn't been cleared yet for contact. So it's been, you know, it's very slow process for him in terms of getting back from that second concussion already.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the thing is, like, concussions are no joke, man. Like, I know the NFL dicks around with this stuff. And like, oh, no, it's fine. He just got a little CTE in his head. It's fine. Don't worry. He can play. But you know, I'm glad, I applaud the NBA for actually taking it seriously.
Yeah.
It's really not a joke. I've known people, you know, like very close people in my life who have had concussions, and they were messed up for months. Like,
absolutely,
it totally messes with you. So yeah, I can understand him taking time to come back. Hopefully he'll give them something. I don't know anything about his defensive game. I honestly do not get to watch the Bulls very often at all. Mm-hmm. But I know he can offer shooting. I know he was a pleasant surprise for you guys that last year on that end.
Yeah, his rookie year was kind of a red shirt year because he had an injury early on and he never really fought his way back into the rotation. But last year he came on strong with his shooting, but the biggest problem with him was his defense. He's just, game was still too quick for him. And the thing is that I don't know if most people understand is when he was in college, he guarded power forwards in college. And so now he's being asked to go out and guard NBA small forwards. And that's a huge, huge difference between the two. And so it's still an adjustment period for him, especially that, and then just knowing the different schemes and terminology in the NBA. And this year he's improved a little bit. He's not as bad as he was last year. But, I mean, there's still ways that he can get better in terms of his quickness and help side defense. But, you know, he has improved, I'll say that.
And I think, like, as a fan, mostly what you want to see, and this comes from a guy from, again, the Philadelphia area where we have that workman mentality, but really what you want to see is somebody trying. Like for instance, Jahlil Okafor sucks on defense. I hate his game. I wish he would go away. But, like, it's like half the time he's just not even trying. The other half of the time, he just has no idea what's going on around him. So and all you want to see is some effort. You really want to see some effort. Like with Cannon, like at least if he's putting forth the effort, maybe he won't be able to cover everybody. But if he's trying, it adds up to a lot, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And McDermott is, you know, he's trying. And he said before, you know, he's in the film room with coaches and he's got guys in his ear talking to him. So he's making the effort. It's just a matter of getting him up to being passable on defense to where we can keep him on the floor for longer stretches of time. Because the shooting is probably one of the most important things for this team right now in terms of spacing the floor for Wade and Butler.
Right. And you know, the thing is, like, there's so many guys in the NBA that, like, are really good on one end of the floor, and trying to find those two-way players is so hard because you're talking about the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the most talented athletic people in the world, right? And to find, like, a whole team of that, it's impossible. So if you can, if you can build schemes to help them out, or you can, like, half of it is mental. I mean, like, if you can get them to understand the defensive rotations, that's huge. And if they can just put themselves in position a little bit to stop somebody, it's a big deal, you know?
And if
you can get that out of them and still get some, like, three-point shooting, forget it. It's like, you know, you're an important part of the team now. So hopefully he can come back. And
yeah. Hopefully it's going to be here within the next week. And because they have 4 games and 5 nights coming up. So hopefully you can join them during that stretch, because the Bulls, definitely the bench needs his help. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll come out and not be cross-eyed. So that would,
hopefully not.
Anyway. So, you know, what do you expect for them the rest of the season? How do you think they're going to finish, and what would you like to see going forward?
You know, I think what we're seeing right now is, like I said, has been taking everybody by surprise. And I think we'll see as the season goes on, there'll be some regression a little bit, especially on offense, on both ends, I think. Because right now they're in the top 10 in both offensive, defensive efficiency. And I think with due time, I think that defense may slip a little bit just because history suggests that with this personnel. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if they can stay in the top half at least in both categories – and keep Rondo happy, to say the least.
Good luck.
They're on the right direction. They're on the right direction. I think having Wade, being a level-headed guy and being a veteran in that locker room is gonna, continue to have an impact. And I just like to see moving forward that bench unit get shored up a little bit and Hoiberg figure out some rotations a little bit better. But no, I think they're on the right track. I think they are a good team. I think they've proven that. And and looking at the rest of the landscape in the East, I think they'll probably end up with at least a top five seed by the end of the year.
I mean, they don't have a whole lot of competition, right? So, like, the Cavs obviously are going to run the table. The Bucks are actually starting to come around, so that might give them some problems. I think they're in the same conference, right? Same division,
Yep.
same. I
Same
think.
division. Yep.
So, the Pacers, I think, have slipped a lot, but who knows if Paul George gets healthy and,
Yeah. No, but yeah, they're still competing with, Boston, Atlanta, and Toronto. Those are probably the other three that they're going to be competing with most, unless Indiana turns things around and Milwaukee continues their little bit of a role here too. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think finishing in the top four should be definitely a goal. And either way, listen, they've come out way better than anybody thought they would. So you've already won in a weird
Yeah.
way.
Absolutely.
But yeah, man, like I don't. Do you think there's any all-star? Well, I mean, obviously Jimmy Butler is going to get in. Do you think there's a chance that Wade gets in?
I think so, just in terms of the fan vote. I think he'll get in that way. And hopefully Jimmy gets in the fan vote. I hope he's a star this year because he deserves it. If not, I think those two at the very least will get in. I started earlier in the year. I wanted to start a Taj Gibson all-star campaign, but
He's been incredible, right? He's been so good. I think like getting rid of some of the guys that they had on the team has helped him so much.
He's been a starter caliber player in this league for the last, 6 years or so, and he's finally getting his chance, and he's been awesome. And he's cooled off a little bit this last week, but no, I've wanted to start a campaign to try and get him in the game for this year, but I don't think it's gonna pan out.
I mean, you should try.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt to try.
No, of course. Yeah, he's I have always liked his game. He's like my favorite type of player, right? They're all hustle and just like knows where to be, knows how to get the rebounds, knows how to put his body in the best position to fight for those rebounds, and he's just going to give you all the effort in the world all the time. It's kind of inspiring. Like if I could take that sort of intensity into my everyday life, I wouldn't be late with everything I do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's been steady for the Bulls, minus a couple ankle injuries, but no, he's been a constant for this organization since he arrived, and it's just nice to kind of see him get his shot at starting this year and taking advantage of it. It's been awesome to watch.
Yeah, for sure. I always like to watch guys succeed. Like young guys, new guys, I mean, old guys, especially ones that have been around in the league, and they're better than what their position has been, like coming off the bench or, like, man, that guy should be starting. He's a way better player than the other dude that's in there. Why isn't he? And then when they finally get their chance and they flourish and they shine, it's good. I love to see that.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. You have anything else you want to talk about with the Bulls?
Just hope that they avenge last night's Lakers loss, because that was one of the worst games I've seen. But I think they'll bounce back. So,
It was funny. Like I was watching the game. I'm like, oh, they got this in the bag. I can barely keep my eyes open. I'm just gonna go to bed. And I got the email from you this morning. It was like, wow, that game was brutal. I was like, what happened?
It was not fun for either team, but those happen. So, and Wade said it after the game, it's a bad loss, but you gotta just move on and bounce back from it. So,
Yeah, for sure, man. Anyway, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. It's been great having you on. You've been a great guest. Very knowledgeable about your team, and your writing is pretty fantastic. So plug your stuff one more time and let everybody know where they can find you.
thanks again for having me on, Joe. This is awesome. I appreciate you having me on again. But you guys can find me at SB Nation's Chicago Bulls site called bloggable.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Tyler, Tyler underscore Pleiss, Pleiss.
Great. Thanks, Tyler. Definitely would like to have you back on again when maybe the playoffs get closer, or maybe just when some interesting shit happens, like Jimmy Butler punches Rondo out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime. Anytime.
Great, man. Thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye. Well, there you go, everybody. Tyler Pleiss. Thanks again, Tyler, for coming on. Go check out his stuff on Bloggable. He's a good writer. Great to have on the show, and I hope you guys got your fill of my my stupid Metallica rant and some Bulls talk for the evening. Anyway, again, I'll be back on Monday with Michael Keith from the Fuzz NBA podcast, and I'm gonna take him outside and let some people scare him because we live in Brooklyn and he doesn't know anything about Brooklyn. I don't know what that means, but it'll be fun. Until next time, hang tight, go listen to some metal, and I'll talk to you guys soon. All right, bye-bye.